Hey y'all, and welcome to the Nolecast. This is Bud Elliott. Nolecast Instant Reaction Podcast is a podcast that we do right after the game. It is a unedited podcast, live to publish, and it is brought to you by our sponsors, Louisiana Hot Sauce, of course, and Madison Social. Florida State went into Raleigh, North Carolina, and they got the win. Situation where they could have easily lost the ball game. Not going to lie to you and tell you that they played all that well. However, they're coming off a very emotional loss to Clemson. Not easy to get back up and play this game. Pretty obvious letdown type situation. And the game kind of went to script, like we thought it would, right? Florida State would not play all that well, but they would win a close game. And 24-20 certainly fits that. They played terribly. In the first quarter again, they've still yet to score an offensive touchdown against a Power 5 team in the first quarter of this year, so certainly not good. Second half, they were much better. I guess we'll just start on the offense and go through it. By the way, these are shorter. I don't like going real long on these because I don't want to say things that later are going to regret after I have a chance to watch the game again. So, the best position on offense tonight was the offensive line. They kept DeAndre Francois pretty clean. Most of the time, he didn't take a hit. And you know, sometimes when he took a hit, they were just green-dogging him, which is not really the offensive line's fault. That's more on the backs and on the QB to get rid of the football. That's a big change because last week I don't think you could say the offensive line was the best unit on the field for the offense. Certainly not. I mean, that was running backs with Dalvin. This week, NC State, I think they watched the Clemson film. They watched how Florida State blocked. They watched how DeAndre Francois made some good throws, but you know also missed a heck of a lot of throws. And they said, there is no way that we're going to allow Dalvin Cook to beat us. We are going to put so many men in the box. We are going to play our defensive line in such a way as to really try to stop the run, just at all costs. Because that's NC State's only hope of beating Florida State. If Florida State gets the run game going, then it can work the play-action game. NC State's not going to beat FSU. And look, there's certainly a chance that DeAndre Francois might light them up because they're trying to focus on the run so hard. And that is a risk that the Wolfpack were very clearly willing to take in this game. And they did take that risk. Unfortunately for them, Florida State did a little bit better job tonight of staying out of third and long. And Florida State hit some chunk plays later on in the game in the pass game. Now, DeAndre Francois started 5 of 14 in this game. That's atrocious. He finished 9 of 13. I mean, you really couldn't. I'm actually using my hands right now, which is not going to work since this is an audio format. But his progression throughout the game was pretty steep, and that was great to see. In the first half, he was 7 out of 17 for 102 yards. In the second half, he was 10 of. Hold on a second. In the second half, he was 15 out of 22 for 228 yards. That's a huge difference. That is so much more effective, and he had time to throw for most of the night because the offensive line pass protected well. Now, they did not run block well enough in this game for Florida State to be balanced, and certainly if FSU loses this game, I think they're going to get more criticism because of the run blocking. However, that was a good NC State front they faced. That was a front that gave Clemson a good bit of trouble. It gave Florida State some trouble, but I think Florida State was able to shut down their pass rush for the most part and force them to blitz, which created some one-on-one matchups. At times, Francois hit those. I think tonight he was 22 of 39. I believe Florida State had either 4 or 5 drops, which is way too many. I mean, you can't have close to 1 out of every 8 passes dropped. Francois also had a good number of balls that were just bad throws, either bad decisions or just balls that are so inaccurate that they couldn't be caught. And he had a couple more where guys like Nunu Murray actually did a great job of helping him catch, you know, helping him complete the ball by making some circus catches, which is what you want receivers at Florida State to do. This is FSU. That should be happening more often. They should be making more of these good catches. So, Nunu Murray, a huge game off the bench. For some reason, he didn't start again. I don't know. I really don't know what to say about that. But 9 catches for 153 yards wasn't perfect, obviously. But, I mean, that's – he was their leading receiver, leading all-purpose guy on the night. 153 yards receiving is a big deal. And that's – that got the job done. He moved the chains quite a bit. 6 out of Murray's 9 catches tonight went for first downs. That's huge. Travis Rudolph made up for a drop earlier by catching the winning touchdown. You know, this was a – I'm not going to say it was a good offensive effort because they were inconsistent. They did not do well converting third downs. They didn't possess the ball for long stretches. They didn't really go on great drives necessarily. Only 4 of 11 on third down compared to NC State, 8 of 16. But they did enough. They got some chunk plays, 9 of 15 plus, 3 runs of 10 plus. And it seems like the blame, it can kind of go all the way around. You know, I want to go back and watch this, but at times the line didn't run block really well. At times Francois either made a bad throw or the wrong read. At times the receivers really weren't that great. Dalvin Cook really didn't do anything special tonight. Like, he didn't create. If the line didn't get him something, he really wasn't getting a whole lot himself necessarily. But that was, you know, how much really better could you have expected out of in this offense? Certainly, I wasn't out there predicting 40 points or anything. I think, hell, somebody on Twitter said that I actually guessed the right number, the right final score of this game. I don't think I did, but, you know, overall on offense, fine. Probably decent, I guess. Defensively, it was almost the exact opposite. If you compare what FSU's offense did and what FSU's defense did, FSU's offense created some explosive plays, some chunk plays. They did not do well on third downs, and they were really good in the red zone. NC State's offense, almost exactly the opposite. Far fewer chunk plays, despite, I know what it seemed like, but they didn't really hit that many of them. They were more balanced, unlike FSU's offense. They actually ran the ball decently well, but they didn't throw it as efficiently as Florida State did. I know Florida State's passing offense didn't look all that great, but it, numbers-wise, it wasn't that bad. NC State did do well on third downs, but they did not do well in the red zone, and their drives stalled. And so you have to be good at situations if you want to win close games, especially if the quality of play is similar. And it was tonight. Florida State had 6.2 a play. NC State had 5.7. Of course, FSU ran 19 fewer plays than the Wolfpack did. So really, they were kind of somewhat even as far as their actual yardage output. Florida State just played situations a lot better. And if you look at it, I think there are some observations we can make. One, the tackling tonight was pretty poor. Angles taken by the linebackers and some of the defensive backs were not great. I don't think Florida State's defensive line dominated at times in this game quite like it did against Clemson. They didn't seem to have quite that spark, and that's to be expected sometimes. NC State clearly picked on the safety position. I think that they saw what the Tigers did last week against Florida State once Trey Marshall went out. Apparently, even though Jimbo Fisher earlier in the week said he was good, Trey Marshall with the concussion symptoms was held out, so he did not enter the game once his suspension was up. You know, this was not a great defensive performance. I would say it was an okay defensive performance. To go on the road and allow 5.7, it's really not great. NC State is not a great offense, and you would expect better. You'd expect better team defense. You'd expect better tackling. You'd expect I think just overall fewer mistakes. And this defense is still making too many mistakes, even with its top three safeties out. Now, if you recall, Trey Marshall is obviously out, like I said. Nate Andrews is done for the year with an injury, I believe. And Derwin James is out indefinitely with coming off his knee surgery. So they are down their top three safeties. And so when you have Kyle Myers and Ermin Lane and A.J. Westbrook and Bruton and those guys in there, you're going to get exposed some. Because those are, if you play that many backups, you're probably going to get exposed some. And that did happen. But I do want to point out, Florida State's defense got screwed on penalties tonight. And I didn't do this over and over again last week, although I thought there were some bad penalties. But the only two touchdowns Florida State allowed, there were blatant missed calls. I mean, just big-time missed calls. And not just like, oh, a holding could have been called, but like a legitimate, this call was missed, and it directly led to the touchdown being scored. On the first touchdown, it's third and long, and NC State, I think, is just trying to run a play to get him kind of in closer field goal range. Their tight end runs a pick route, but he is so aggressive in picking the corner. He actually has his hands out like he's literally blocking him in the middle of the field. And indeed, he does. That's uncalled. It's a clear pick route. I mean, it should be offensive pass interference. And NC State should actually be out of field goal range at that point. Instead, the receiver breaks free and he catches the ball and strolls into the end zone because the guy who was supposed to be guarding him isn't guarding him. And that's on the refs right there. Like, Florida State, could they play that a little bit better? Yeah, sure. But, man, there's not a whole lot of defenses that are effective if you're allowed to just run your big tight end out and have him slam it into the defensive back. That's a clear penalty. On the other NC State touchdown, I think a pretty clear block in the back goes uncalled. That's the guy who could have made a play on that receiver to hold him to, you know, maybe a 4 or 5 yard gain. Instead, boom, touchdown. Those are NC State's two touchdowns on the night, and I mean, that's bad. So FSU had no favors from the refs tonight. Additionally, Brian Burns gets thrown out of the game for a very questionable targeting. I'm okay with the personal foul there, but I'm really not sure it should have been actual targeting, and so he'll have to miss the first half against Boston College next week. And luckily, Boston College is a pretty bad team. But what you didn't notice on that play, the whole reason how the quarterback is able to get around the side and is able to run out there and scramble and actually get hit is because NC State is really blatantly holding, and DeMarcus Walker throws his hands up like, what the hell? Why is this going on here? Why is this not being called? If the refs call that, you know, or if Walker isn't so badly held, there's a good chance that quarterback never gets there. And so Florida State gets called for that penalty. NC State, you know, continues the drive. FSU did get some stops on defense tonight. I thought that was pretty key because the field position was pretty iffy. Did it feel to you like Florida State was backed up in its own end all night? Because it should have. Here's where Florida State's drive started that weren't, end of the half, end of the game drive. Their own 7, their own 21, their own 35, their own 20, their own 25, their own 29, their own 27. 27 was the half. Their own 22, their own 30, their own 4, their own 17. You know what's missing? Drive starting outside of their own 35. Just one of those. NC State, on the other hand, they actually had a 7 yard per drive advantage in field position. And you might not think that matters all that much, but there were 23 total combined drives in this game. So if you split that in half, that's about an 80 yard advantage to NC State in field position alone. Now, part of that was because Florida State's punting continues to not be very good. And NC State was able to keep Florida State pretty backed up in their own end for most of the night. So I think you have to keep that in mind when you look somewhat at what the defense did. You know, it got the turnover there on the interception on the first drive of the game. For a while, NC State was moving the ball pretty well, especially in that second half. They had a drive of 61 where they missed a field goal on. Probably should have gone for that, by the way. That's a gift from Dave Doran. Just poor coaching, especially if you're going to try and pull an upset. My Lord. And then two more field goals. That was a drive of 44 and a drive of 64. The drive of 44 yards, it started at Florida State's 46-yard line. I mean, that's great field position for NC State. They're almost in field goal range as soon as they make one first down. In the second half, though, I thought they did better. I mean, they allowed a drive of 95 yards, which is terrible. Granted, some kind of questionable calls there. They forced a punt after a drive of 2 yards. They forced a punt after a drive of 37. They forced a punt after a drive of 11. And then NC State had their final drive of the game, 49 yards on 8 plays, and they ended up turning over on downs. That was better in the second half, certainly. NC State in the first half did a really nice job. But I also want to give NC State credit for having some great play calls at the right time, certainly. And I think Florida State did too on offense. But they made some great clutch, I don't want to say clutch plays, but they had a lot of plays where it was just, okay, they need a run, or they need 7 yards, and they get 8. It was just sort of, they got exactly what they needed at exactly the right time. And that, to me, was interesting. Just watching it, I'm going through the plays that got first downs on via passing the ball. They need 10, they get 12. They need 4, they get 6. They need 13, they get 14. They need 4, they get 5. They need 5, they get 13. That was a big one. They need 10, they get 11. They need 8, they get 29. That was a big one. But it kind of goes on and on like that. I feel like NC State was just barely getting these first downs, and a lot of times they were making really good throw and catches. And you kind of had to figure, all right, and I think I tweeted something similar, but I said, you don't feel good about the play so far of Florida State, but you do feel good about the score going into the half, because Florida State, the way they've played, should probably be blown out right now. But they're not. They're not even close. They're only down a field goal. And I think at the time I tweeted it, it was only a, I think it was a tie ball game. So that was good. And NC State in the second half was just not quite as good at converting some of those third downs. And in the first half, they were just on fire. And Florida State's a little bit lucky and a little bit talented that they didn't give up those red zone touchdowns, and they forced field goals and field goal attempts. And that's one of the key differences in this ball game. You can't take road wins for granted in conference, and especially, I mean, we went over this in the last podcast. Under Jimbo Fisher, it's not been good. I don't know. Well, especially without Jameis. Florida State moves to bowl eligible for, I think, the 35th consecutive year, I saw in the game notes. They have Boston College, Syracuse, and Florida left. I believe they'll be favored in all three games. And Ingram and I have been doing our predictions for the final record. And before this week, I was still at 8-4. After this win, I might seriously consider moving to 9-3. I had a chance to watch the second half of the Florida at Arkansas game, and I'm not totally sure how Arkansas got its points in the first half, but Florida's offense is atrocious. Syracuse today, I think, lost by 50 to Clemson, and Boston College got their doors blown off by Louisville, which we've seen that before. When Louisville comes to play, there's not a whole lot of teams who can play with them. But I think Florida State will be favored in all three of these, which means it could still go 9-3, which means that with the bowl, with the bowl win, it could still reach 10 wins. And it would be, I think, in a lot of people's minds, a rather hollow 10 wins. I mean, who's your best win on the schedule right now? Is it an Ole Miss team that is probably just going to be barely bowl eligible? Is it USF? I mean, it's probably not Miami. They're going to lose. They already have 4 losses. They'll probably have 5 or 6 by year's end. You know, so people are going to say, well, you lost to all the good teams on your schedule. And that, I disagree. Not all of them. But winning this is a hell of a lot better than losing this for a lot of reasons. I mean, I think if you go 8-4, that drops you out of the rankings. I think if you go 8-4, it could actually hurt your recruiting a little bit. It helps to silence some of the critics. And I do think it also helps you keep your team together, right? In some ways. Like I asked you, what does this team have to play for still? And you know, maybe not a lot, but maybe winning this game and the possibility to win 10 games, maybe that does motivate some kids. I don't know. We'll see how FSU plays on Friday. I did want to get that little quick mention into how bad UF's offense looked. I'm actually going to pull that up real quick. Yeah, I just pulled that up. Florida had 4.7 yards of offense per play on 51 plays. So only 241 total yards, only 12 first downs. Luke Del Rio was at 19 of 37, so it's barely over 50%. Two picks, no touchdowns. Their run game, looks like their running backs had 11 carries for 37 yards. That's not the best. But, man, only 51 plays. Arkansas seems they managed to hold the ball forever. Not too good there, obviously. Florida's drives, oh, Lord. Check this out. 0, 22, 17, 0, 3, 19, 7, then 36, but that was before the half, so that you know, it's kind of useless. 6, 5, and then their final three drives once the game was pretty much over. 27, 42, and 72. So, let's see, that's 59. So, yeah, over half of their total offense came on their final three drives of the game once Arkansas was up by two touchdowns. That's pretty bad. I do wonder if Florida might consider making a change at quarterback. That's just not going to get it done, and that's tough. Arkansas, meanwhile, actually ended up running for 223 yards. It took them 49 carries, which is a ton, but still fairly impressive. Arkansas had 22 first downs, 6.2 per play. That's pretty good. All right, I think that's actually it for the instant reaction. Ingram and I will be with you this week. I think we'll have some new topics to talk about. Maybe go a little more macro. Maybe go a little more recruiting. But I think that's it for this. Florida State gets a road conference win at NC State, a win that I think you can feel, if not good, then at least decent about. And you're not the Gators, which is good. And you didn't lose on the road in a game that easily could have lost. So I'll check y'all later.